Link Skype Connectivity Version 2, a practical guide. My name is Derek Whittle. I'm recently from the Skype division. I've joined the Link division now, and now that we're one, and I focus on sales readiness. But Barry and I have kind of kept doing the job we were doing before, which is talk to lots of customers about Link and Skype and how to use them, how to position them. We're going to share that with you today.
Yeah, so I spent 3 years in the Skype division looking after Skype for Business. But eventually, for reasons of strategy, it was made clear that our enterprise and business strategy would be more over on the Link side. So I joined the Link technical marketing team, where I look after manageability, servers, and systems. We've been working together, Derek and I, now, since the acquisition. Both made the transition over to Link sort of around the same time. And by bringing our Skype knowledge, our Skype understanding, into the launch of this Link Skype Connectivity V2 release, we'll be showing you really every aspect of both the technology that underpin this release, and there are three things that we need to hopefully communicate to you today. And then secondly, how you go ahead and deploy this, some of the gotchas and the areas you need to be aware of as you move forwards. And then we're going to drill down in a way more detail on the business use cases that we anticipate this is going to open up for enterprises and businesses. We'll also establish the contrast between the two demos that you saw in the keynote speech. Those demos, just reminding you, were Link Skype Connectivity V2 with video, which is the one we'll be demoing here, as well as the contact center demo with a wounded guitar player trying to get through to a doctor who, well, also happens to work in the technical marketing team. So hopefully we'll equip you with every aspect and all the knowledge that you need. There are some seats dotted around here. Please do feel free to come up to the front. Our session is being recorded for others to watch because we've got such a lot going on here at the show. So please, when you ask your questions, I'm afraid I'm asking that you either speak very loudly with your voice pointed at that microphone in the middle there, or you're going to have to put up with us repeating your question.
All right. So I think Barry's covered our key session objectives and takeaways. So this is our agenda. We're going to kind of talk to you about what some of the new things in Skype. And if you saw the TED concert, we'll touch on some other things that are kind of exciting that are helping build that brand and that number of connected users. We'll talk about how Skype and Link are different. And in one specific scenario, it makes it quite clear. Then we'll go into some business cases and use cases around Link Skype Connectivity. We'll dig into the enabling technologies. And we'll actually go into how you actually implement it if you really want to see those slides too.
Right, so onto the next slide. Skype's a phenomenon because of its early adoption. It really established a global presence and a global understanding that video peer-to-peer calling was now a reality. And very quickly, I can tell you, I joined the company in 2010. At that time, Skype was handling about 12% of global international calling minutes. That number is a number produced every year by Telegeography, an independent analyst. And they basically look at the number of minutes that are carried by the PSTN versus what is being carried by over-the-top applications like Skype. So 12% in 2010, now up to 38% in 2013. I think what's interesting here is that Skype's an application that was put out on the market in about 2003. I remember when that announcement was made, I thought, wow, this game has all of a sudden significantly changed. It's proved to be the case. I mean, if you're interacting with friends, family, etc., Skype is one of those things that's just available globally. It's available on all of the platforms people are using, and we pride ourselves in going after whatever is out there. If there's got a lot of momentum behind it, we'll go ahead and put Skype. We'll work with the platform developer to make Skype happen there. And we'll continue to do that. So where people go, Skype will continue to go. A lot of these calls are video calls, as you can see here. Yep. And when you think about a group of consumers who are internet savvy, equipped with the right technologies, and able to communicate with video, the natural implication for an enterprise or business is, all right, so how do we then capitalize on that? By bringing video to link Skype calls, we're effectively keeping all of the controls that we need to maintain within an enterprise environment. We're opening up that enterprise environment to the reach that Skype is able to deliver through the natural growth of the Skype community. We do a lot of things to continue to excite the consumers that we go after in this space and continue to provide a free application download around the world. And that means that the growth continues, and for a business, that starts to sound like opportunity. A good demographic, a technically savvy audience that's able to follow simple instructions about clicking on a web page or in an email and able to interact directly with you, and then you can establish that relationship by adding video to a conversation which previously was simply audio. You're now moving to a new dimension for customer relationships. We get a lot of calls like that. We're talking to a lot of businesses. Possibly some people in this room have already had Derek and I talk to them about what the implications are and how we're going to move forwards and deliver on this.
So why don't we quickly talk about some of the places you would have seen Skype already be integrated into the Microsoft family of products. You talked about Link Skype Connectivity version 1, and that came out in May, that audio, instant messaging, and contacts. We actually provide real-time video, audio, and instant messaging from the website via Outlook.com. So if you want to see that happening right now, as opposed to a dream of the future called WebRTC, you can actually see that working right now. Skype for the BlackBerry, you can now, when you call a Skype person, you don't want to just leave a text message. You can actually shoot them a short video and leave it as a video message. So VIMs have been very, very popular. We're on Xbox One. And we've been a real big driver behind the Office 365 Home Premium SKU. Each month that a subscriber maintains their subscription, they get 60 minutes of Skype calling. And that, with the OneDrive, has been a real value driver for that particular SKU. And we've seen millions and millions of users adopting that. And we're going to talk more about Link Skype Connectivity version 2 as well.
All right. Some of the areas that you may not be aware of are some of our outreach programs, and these are things that certainly in my demographic, I don't watch daytime TV, but we've spent enormous time analyzing how we deliver awareness of our product and the solution to the broadest possible community. And look, we're all technically savvy people in this room, and I don't know if you've noticed, but something seems to have changed at sort of the generation and generation below where we're sitting. And I hope I'm not insulting anyone here, but my kids don't actually know really what a telephone is. We've never had one in the house. We're all mobile phone people. And you will notice that one of our competitors spends a lot of time doing product placement in soap operas and TV programs where they are placing a handset into that environment. We think that's marketing dollars that are being misspent. We think there is more opportunity by talking to the next generation of consumers and getting them to recognize our brand. We've developed a number of bespoke, custom applications that we take to broadcasting organizations to help them do the sort of thing that you saw, those of you that are on time arriving. We actually played 12 minutes of a video on TED. This is a Skype-based orchestra, a choir, singing in real time using Skype technology, being conducted by a man standing in front of the TED audience. So I recommend that you have a quick search for that one, the Skype TED choir. If you Bing that using your favorite search engine, You'll find a number of responses. Go ahead and click that. Just watch just maybe the last 4 to 5 minutes of it, and you'll see 50 or more Skype chorists come onto that I was going to say call, but it just doesn't sound right, does it?
Yes,
and we blend that using our broadcasting industry blending and post-production capabilities. That capability allows us to do on-the-fly newsreel-type reporting, watermarks coming in underneath people's names, etc. We spend a lot of time really looking at the broadcasting industry, and we see it as a significant way for us to continue to get the word of mouth out there about moving people to multimodal communications, voice, video, chat, etc. Some of the examples that you see on here, they seem pretty obvious, but you know, if you come to our EBC center in Redmond, that's all set up with Skype calling now. You know, you walk into those rooms, you'll find a Surface up on the wall. It's all set up for minutes. You call anywhere in the world using that capability. As I mentioned, the broadcasting solutions are now being used by, you know, some of the largest news agencies in the world. You'll see us on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Well, no longer, right? He's moved on.
Tonight Show.
You'll see us on Ellen.
Oh, right. That's right. Jimmy Fallon.
But, you know, something that underlines all of this is the quality of the Skype codec. Now, those of you that are old hands with Link will know that the real-time audio codec was designed with dynamic behavior in mind. So based on the use of the WAN connection or the local loop gets overloaded, the codec will change its behavior. Skype actually acquired a company back about 5 years ago that had developed a super wideband codec called Silk. The Silk codec was then released into the public domain, or at least as a license-free codec available to vendors who partner. And it's also being proposed into the Opus standard within the IETF. We're serious about audio quality. And the difference between Silk and real-time audio, or RTA, used within Link, is that Silk was designed to handle the ups and downs of the public internet, a no-quality-of-service type network. Silk does very well at handling packet loss, etc., and it's doing that by the use of some forward error correction mechanisms that are built into Skype. So we've done independent analysis of this codec. We know it performs really well on non-QoS networks. And it's the underpinning for a lot of these activities. If it goes bad, if the call's bad, we have an unhappy partner. We spend a lot of time getting Skype's codec and audio quality as good as it possibly can be. So we all know that the primary announcement that we're making today with Link Skype Connectivity V2 is around video calling. But I need to underline a couple of other aspects of this announcement, one of which is the use of the Silk codec now within Link for Link Skype connectivity calls. Why? Because those calls are going to be over the internet. We have less control of that network. So we're now using a new codec, but you'll see we haven't left all of the other underpinnings behind. So you still have all of the controls you need on the Link side, but you get the added advantage of improved audio quality on the open internet. The second thing is we've aligned with the security mechanisms within the enterprise. I'll give you more information on that in a few slides' time. So I talked earlier on about companies that are still pushing a telephone handset as a way of getting their brand out there. I'm going to show you something that we've been doing. In fact, maybe it's not me that I think Derek's more in tune. No, I keep going. All right, here we go. So this is this Jimmy Kimmel chap. And he runs something called the scavenger hunt. Basically, you'll see the way it works pretty quickly, I'm hoping.
Sure, Ed Dooley, you know, from time to time, we Skype with people in their homes and we have them race around to find things in it. Usually we do this with regular viewers. Last week we did it with NBA players. Tonight we're going to play with a singing group, and that singing group is One Direction. Join us now in Nashville, Tennessee. We will begin with Team HLZ, Harry, Liam, and Zane. Hey, fellas, how you doing? You look comfortable in Nashville. Do you like Nashville?
We like Nashville. It's nice.
How familiar are you with the items in your dressing room? All right. So this might not be the easiest, but your opponents tonight are the other members of your band. Joining us now from their dressing room, located very close to yours, Team NL, Lyle Lewis. How you doing? There are only two of you against three. Do you consider this a disadvantage?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So you don't need to add a tambourine player to the band or something to help you out? Okay, very good. Gentlemen, shake virtual hands. It is time to play a special One Direction edition of the Skype Scavenger Hunt. This is a simple game. I'll ask you to find an item or complete a task. Your job is to get it or do it as quickly as you can. Are you ready? All right, let's begin.
Yeah.
Your first challenge is run to the bathroom, make a toothpaste mustache of yourself, and bonus points for goatee or beard or any other facial hair you want to add, okay? All right, and there they go. You want to add chest hair? Oh, wow, that was really fast. We're going to have to give this one to Niall and Louie. Very well done, very quickly done.
We're not going to show you the next one.
It looks like he went
through. Although it's not quite pornographic, it gets close. It has them coming back their underwear over their pants. Reasonably exciting, but we'll pass on that. You get the point.
I'm going to keep it up. okay, so
Skype Wi-Fi.
The point of that previous slide is really to let you know that we're getting the Skype message is getting out there, and not necessarily to the people with the hairstyles in this room. That's quite important because we're all running businesses here. We're all, we're all focused ultimately on the bottom line. And it's important that your partners are doing the right thing to make sure that if we're going to be over time sending you leads, and we think that's one of the important business models here, that we're getting the message out to the right people who are going to be talking to us in the future. So we put a lot of effort in here. I see some of my marketing colleagues watching what I say, but effectively, one other aspect of this is we have an advertising business that was demonstrated during the keynote. You would have seen that as a Skype click-to-call capability where effectively we're teeing up leads inbound to organizations that participate in our Skype advertising, once again, using Skype technologies to make an on-net call. And then it kind of functions as a cheap version. No, that's the wrong word. Americans always like, you don't say that word cheap. Anyway.
Yeah, you already said it, but yeah. Value, how about that?
Competitively priced version of a...
A value priced.
Yeah. Of an 800 style non-geographic call. So we think there's huge opportunity there as well. But the last item on this list is something you may or may not know about, but we recently enhanced our... I'd gone back a slide, hadn't I? We enhanced our Wi-Fi capability. Skype does a lot of work through federated partners. Now, federation may not mean the same thing as I describe it here. Skype is not involved in running any networks. We're an application, and we do everything by partnering with people who do operate networks, whether that's for local calling into the PSTN, or alternatively, as here, to offer up people who have placed Skype credit into their Skype accounts, we'll offer up the capability for them to quickly connect using Wi-Fi wherever they happen to land. So if they happen to show up in Paris or London, New York, etc., there's a Skype-compatible Wi-Fi hotspot sitting there waiting for them, and they can plan their entire trip using the hotspot finder, which is available on the web. So other folks offer this kind of capability. I suppose, really, the difference here, the thing to underline, is folks that travel, and particularly consumers that go on vacation, they prefer to have a relationship with a single online commercial vendor. By offering this capability to them, we make sure that they have the connectivity they need when they arrive wherever they're going to get to. And they can now make Skype calls back to friends and family back home, show them video messages of what they're seeing. And ultimately, they've still got that single commercial relationship with Skype, Microsoft, as opposed to showing up in a cafe somewhere and either using a hotspot if it's available. Well, who wouldn't do that? But if there's a commercial relationship with a hotspot provider, then you're going to have to take the credit card out and communicate that over the web. Not necessarily something you want to do all over the world without obviously undermining anyone's business model. So we do this through partnership. A lot of these relationships are actually very similar to the other services like this on the market, and we open it up to our Skype customers through their credit.
We've talked to a couple of cruise lines already. We've talked to another one next week, and this is the kind of thing that really attracts them, because they want, when those people are coming into port, they want to be able to find a hotspot without having to do a new transaction in that port, which they may not trust. So this is a great service to be aware of and to offer.
All right. We have under an hour left. We've shown too many videos, I think. But you heard that message about coming together. Really what Link, coming together with Skype, is all about is about reach.
Keep going. You're on a roll. I'm excited because we have a new marketing message, universal communication. What we try to do today is to kind of show you on the left hand of the side of the screen, we're doing all we can to build that user loyalty, more of them, stay connected, give them reasons to talk to their friends about Skype. When somebody uses your name as a verb, they said Skype you, that's what we're looking for, and that's really a powerful message.
We can't do that, though, because what happens when you use it as a verb in common language is you can't protect the brand anymore, and the brand is so critically important for Skype.
It's still
cool. The marketing people are staring at it now. I'm going to ignore them.
It still sounds as cool to me, so I'm going to go with that. On the other side of the screen, you all know how successful and what we're doing to drive the Link business in corporations of all sizes. And what Barry and I do typically is we talk to customers about where Skype fits throughout this continuum. Some folks want to use Skype in their corporations, and they're fine with that. We talk about how to secure it later on. Others don't want that, but they're happy to have Link Skype connectivity conversations that are fully encrypted, so we provide that. And really that means we can deliver universal communications. A person can call anyone from anywhere on any device and any way they choose. And that's the powerful message that's coming forward now.
Now, see, people sometimes ask us to differentiate between Link Online, which is contained within Office 365, and Skype Premium. I'm showing the basic information here. So you've got your pricing. It's kind of in the same ballpark. But there are some fundamental differences here. Skype currently already has dialing out to the PSTN and mobile networks. That's available as part of that Skype Premium business model. You can dial into meetings. Basically, using Skype, you can have an online number that would dial the person who's organizing the meeting, because you've got to know who that is. You can have a maximum of 10 people on a Skype video, a group video call with Skype. With Link, of course, Link Online, you can get up to 250 attendees. Not that you'd want to, but it's there. I think the big difference here, though, is once you get into professional meetings, you're looking to have a schedule. You're looking to have that within your calendar in Exchange Outlook. And that's where Link really shines. So meetings are just way more professional. You can control who can speak. You can control the modalities that they can use. You can establish a meeting file repository that people can refer back to. We're going to show you some of the fundamental differences. There's also a meeting recording capability. You just don't have that with Skype right now. There are some add-ons for Skype to enable sort of family-style recording, but nothing at the professional level of I'm going to go with Link recordings, but actually some of our third-party recording mechanisms are really quite outstanding, and we've got a slide at the end on that. I think the other thing to underline is the administrative control. Skype is basically, there is a capability to manage groups of users with something called Skype Manager, which is a group provisioning tool. It's available online, and it effectively allows you to use a single credit card to provision credit and capabilities and features to multiple users, all from a single interface. That's useful. Unfortunately, it has no Active Directory integration. It has no ability to set calling policies to the people within your organization. So it falls short of what most enterprises would expect from that kind of service. So effectively, less control with Skype and less policy setting and no Active Directory integration. I hope that clarifies the situation. People do still ask us, well, you know, actually free is an awfully nice looking price. So if I just go ahead and deploy Skype, I'm not actually maybe going into premium. What do I get then? Well, if you go the free route, you don't get the group video calling at this time. So you would actually need to step into that just under $5 subscription if you wanted to get the group video calling capability. Okay. We're playing the promenade music. Okay, meetings. Now, this particular meeting is a meeting being done in Skype. So I'm going to differentiate this for you. Derek's then going to come in and show you a classic link meeting. So the difference here is that with Skype, you effectively create a group chat. You drag users into that group chat, all well and good. It's now up there on your screen. You could even say, hey, guys, ready for the meeting, so you can chat to them. And then when you're once you're ready to go ahead with the actual meeting, you press the button and the animation freezes.
Did it move? I can't tell.
Nothing happening there.
Click on that thing. Got it. There we go.
Ah, who knew? Right. So you can save that group chat with a name. So if I'm talking regularly to a team of analysts, and that was the case because we recently announced a new TCO analysis that was done by Unicom and Kelcor. I set up a team of people to work on the TCO with me, Marty Parker and Brent Kelly, who's in the room, I think. Hand, there we go, he's at the back. We had a little group there, and that was persistent. So effectively, with Skype, I could chat with them and then hit that button and start the call, and we'd be in a Skype group video call straight off. All right? Now, the point is, I'm the guy doing the meeting, right? I've got to press the button. This is a proactive reach out to the people who are part of the meeting. Now, that means you normally lose about 10 minutes at the beginning of every call because someone's going to be on a mobile phone. It's going to dial through. You're going to get their voicemail, but you're going to have to still try them back. So, you know, it can be a little bit tedious, but great for what you get. So all good fun.
Yeah, there are scenarios in which that makes good sense to use. But we'll contrast it with the link experience. And the thing you'll first notice is the integration with Office and Exchange. So you get calendar integration. You get free busy information. So you know if a person's available to meet to begin with. But the best thing about it is the calendar invitation quickly becomes a link meeting with one click. So then you have dial-in conferencing. You've got a conference bridge, a conference ID. So this is sort of the professional version of a meeting experience that Link delivers. And we sometimes get asked about how much we're going to continue to be integrated with Office. And I hope this gives you an indication that this is a valuable part of our value prop. And Office integration is key to what we do.
Absolutely. Now, I know the next slide is going to be about that manageability difference. I've already covered this, so I'm actually just going to skip ahead a slide.
Okay.
Once again, Active Directory over on the Link side, Skype Manager, cheap and cheerful, a way to pay for many users all at once or to create accounts. This one's yours, and it's about Link Skype Connectivity V1, which is where we were about this time last year, actually.
Yeah, so we'll quickly touch on this. The issue of Microsoft accounts is the one that we lead off with. It is a requirement both for V1 and V2, and it is something that we're quite committed to as the identity mechanism for all of our consumers to access Xbox, Skype, Outlook.com. So that'll continue to happen going forward. We are working hard to improve that experience. And so I'll show you how the experience looks today, and I'll talk a bit about how it's going to improve, but it's one area that we're very, very committed to. What was missing from version one was essentially there weren't any mobile clients that fully supported audio and IM conversations with contacts in this scenario. And we also didn't support video and group sessions. And that's the last part is still the case, but let's talk about version two.
One of the things that just came up there is the ability for calls to be directed into an inbound contact center. That actually worked with version one. It's still there with version two. So effectively, this is for known contacts. Someone you know is dialing in, and you can direct that call to the contact center. But the three key things that get added with V2, number one is obviously we're now delivering interoperability between Skype video and link using H.264 SVC. We've got more details on that in a few minutes, but great video quality. We're going to do a call in a few minutes, and fingers crossed. The second piece, though, is the ability to use stun, turn, and ice for NAT traversal. That wasn't the mechanism that had been built into Skype. There were components of stun that were in the Skype architecture, but basically stun did not look friendly when you saw it happening on your network. And for many organizations, it would trigger alerts. It just didn't feel enterprise ready. That has now been improved. We've delivered enterprise-ready security mechanisms that are completely aligned with what you've been using with Link and even further before that. So ICE, stun, turn, now in the product. That means that an inbound call from a Skype user and an outbound call from a Link user will effectively behave as the link-to-link type calling has been behaving. The edge is involved. We'll explain more about those details in a few minutes. And the final one is the movement to the Silk codec for these calls. So great audio quality, enterprise-level security, and standard video between both networks, Link and Skype. There it is. No multi-party calling yet. There are some workarounds. We've seen some great things happening from some of our partners. But inherent in the product, it's single-party to single-party. There is no file transfer mechanism right now, and that includes screen share. So we'll keep looking to the future for the complete solution.
The thing to add, though, is we will have mobile clients around the time of GA. In fact, I see Carl back there actually showed that happen. Anybody go to the deep dive session this morning? No, you missed that. Oh, he showed a Windows phone client taking a video call from a Skype client. So mobile users will get supported in this version in a much bigger way than it was last time around.
Yep, sorry for the delay. We're refreshing the screen. The only thing we've added here is, hey, by the way, it also will work with Office 365. So effectively, whether you're online or on-prem, you still have that Link Skype connectivity. All right.
And I will quickly touch on what I was mentioning around the client support. There's 15 clients that have to be lined up and ready to support this. So it's a big job, and Carl back there is one of the leaders of that effort. And you can see that we're gonna get the top two clients, which is the ones we're gonna demo, is the Windows desktop client for Skype and the Link desktop client are pretty close today. We're able to work with those. And over time, with future releases, we'll add all these other clients in this calendar year is our aim. And with that.
All right, so fingers crossed, we are now going to go to a demo, and I'm going to ask for screen number 5, please.
Oh, whoops.
Here it is. So this is my Skype account. Please notice the logo, top right. Top.
It's up there.
There you go, top left. And I've highlighted my partner in crime here, Derek Whittle. I see that we've just got a red light. That probably means he's doing a presentation of some sort. But we're going to go ahead and click that. Fingers crossed. Hi, everyone.
Any second now. And there's my answer.
Cool.
A little too much of me.
We're going to pause. All right, so I hope what we're demonstrating is high-definition video here. Is that, in fact, what's happening? We're demonstrating nothing. We all walked away. Run away! All right, well, it's looking good on the screen down there, and it's a great call, so we're going to call that one a wrap. So that was a call from a Skype user into a Link account. But now we're going to show a second call. So I'm going to hang this up. We're going to cross fingers again. I'm going to do a second call. But this call is going to be what we call a Skype call to a group full of folks attending the Link conference.
Oh. And I'm supposed to.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it.
Everybody say hi.
All right. We got the roof. There it is. All right.
Almost.
They did
there.
This better in the other session
because yeah,
they had a handheld like one. So
you're on candid camera.
There we go. So we've got the group. We've done the group call. And we're going to call that one a wrap as well. So we'll hang that up.
We learn as we go.
We do. All right.
Is it hot in here to anybody?
Wow. Yeah.
Just asking.
All right, that's the demo done. We're back to screen one.
And we actually planned ahead, so there's a... Don't look at this picture. In case it didn't work, we were going to show it to you anyway. We're in marketing. What can we say?
All right, so we're going to talk about the business models here for a second. So the first one is actually going to be around B2C, so communicating with customers. You know, today's technology is still pretty kind of arcane if you think about it. 1-800 numbers. I don't know how much you guys are paying for those things, but I happen to know how much we pay. I'm not going to share that with you. I'd have some folks breathing down my neck, but it is a big, big number. So whether it's Xbox, whether it's Office, there is opportunity for economic savings, my friends. I believe on-net calls are the wave of the future, and the more we do it, the more money we're going to save. And we think that by embedding Skype technologies into applications, and we provide a number of URI-type buttons that you can do that with, as well as simply doing web-based iframe calling in the way that we demonstrated in the keynote, there's a lot of opportunity to retain the relationships that we need with our customers while at the same time moving us to a different economic model. So big upside here. And I'm now going to differentiate. If you remember the keynote, we showed two separate types of calls. So this first one on the left is the type of call we just showed you. The difference is I've added in one of the Skype buttons onto a website. And effectively, we're going to do that demo in a minute. But what you can do is you can use the syntax, the code, to effectively embed a Skype button wherever you want on a website, or you can even drop it into an email. And in fact, if you go to our developer website, you'll find their instructions to embed Skype into both mobile as well as into your own applications. That capability allows you to effectively go right from a website into a contact center. So we certainly expect people to do that. This will be for named contacts. It's for a CRM-type relationship, someone you already know. Why is that the case? Because this relies on the two parties knowing each other. They need to have added each other to their contact lists. Now, that does happen, but effectively the one on the right is sort of the first stage of that relationship where an anonymous user comes into your iframe-based website and clicks that, hey, I've got a hurt hand, I need to speak to a doctor button, as you saw during the keynote demonstration. That's going to be more aligned with an anonymous type call. It actually doesn't use Skype technology. It's using that J-Link code name that was covered during the briefing. But effectively, we then see there being a mix of these two technologies where some folks will come in through that route. Once they're named and understood, the Skype ID, which would be a Microsoft account, would be inserted into the CRM database. And from that moment onwards, you're into a one-to-one relationship, either with a contact center or a group of skills, and you're able to route that around the organization using your usual skills-based routing. So two models. We're going to talk more about this one over the left. This has a number of advantages. I think the key one, though, is its use of the Silk codec from day one, so higher quality calls, which is absolutely critical for any kind of contact center or customer relationship type of call. So Silk, I think, is a key differentiator there. Over to you.
No, keep going. Oh, this
is
me? Okay. So then, given that there's two different ways to approach this, we think we can address a number of sort of common scenarios. One of them is let's suppose you have a franchise that has multiple locations, and you have a dilemma about how to enable those folks to communicate. In our scenarios, you can use a mix of Link and Skype together. You can use sort of a Skype at the headquarters and have the franchisees communicate with Skype directly to them using Link Skype connectivity. Again, you get audio, video, instant messaging, and chat. My instant messaging is chat. And also, if you're bringing on someone for a special project or for outsourcing, let's say you're writing a cert document, a vision document, you're hiring a couple of contractors to do that. Instead of having to give them a credential and bring them in behind your firewall, you can actually just provide them with Skype, and then they can get themselves, as a matter of fact, and then they can then communicate to you through Link on the other side. So there's a couple of areas where we're seeing this really compelling message around the video capability, in particular with this new release. The other one is, like all of you, we're all away from our families unless you live in Las Vegas. And this is one of those scenarios that is very, very big for us, is that this ability to call back home with video. So really connecting with seeing your child's first steps, maybe a baseball or a soccer game, really helping with work-life balance, addressing emergencies. So having a really connected experience when you're traveling is a big deal. I imagine you all feel the same way. And then, I think there was a movie about this just recently, but one of the most common hiring scenarios today is using video to conduct the interview. And that makes a big difference from a cost savings perspective. You can actually have a broader reach. And your college campuses, those folks are using Skype. So that makes perfect sense to be able to be back at home on Link and do video interviews from college campuses around the country, around the world, using Skype. And I'm going to pass this one to you. We're going a little bit deeper on the Skype buttons.
Would you mind hitting the number 5 button?
But first, there's more.
Link knows there's a world out there. A world of customers. Suppliers. Business partners. And people that you're a little closer to. And moments you just can't miss.
Back to number 1.
Link knows. Link.
No. Excellent.
All right. So the obvious point of that video is, you can't tell really what business model is going to work for you. Is it the customers that are most important? The partners, the B2B model that we described. But one thing we know is that making families easier to reach with multimodal type communications that include video will go a long way to improving the way that we balance our lives both at work and at home. And we all work hard. Being able to see the family when you're on the road is critically important. I know we're here in Vegas, we're having a good time, but there are more important people back home, and we think Link Skype connectivity actually plays a major role in the HR relationship between employees and the company.
All right. I covered that other one.
Yeah. All right, great. So I mentioned the Skype buttons earlier on. There is a website that's over on that orange box or far left on your screen. If you visit this, you'll find documentation and descriptions on how to set up your own buttons on the website. I have to say right now, this does not include the video capability that we're out in the market with. We are talking about release 2, but currently these buttons are with the currently available release, which is actually release 1 or version 1 of Link Skype connectivity right now. The code sample there is pretty simple. Where you see the number 2, that effectively tells the button that this is going to be a Link Skype connectivity call. The syntax is really easy. That's all you need to do. You do need to have accounts that have Microsoft accounts. That's the only way that this is going to work. So let's go ahead and show the next one, which is basically just a...
You want to click it?
Go ahead and click that through. So the customer comes and visits the website, and there's a button on that website. The customer goes ahead and clicks that. You can click now.
Whoops, not that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, wow. You shouldn't have done that.
I know. Let me go back to that.
Yeah. Point. Can you just click that right arrow? And I'm going to load up the website he was just showing you, which is where we've put the buttons that I've been putting. I'm not a coder anymore. But effectively, you click the button. It then asks you a question about, Am I now in charge?
No, I'm ready. Go.
I'm ready? Okay, good. So I'm on this website, right? It's very simple, but it does contain the code that I extracted from the developer documentation that I've encouraged you to go look at. I'm going to go ahead and click that. It's going to ask me, hey, do you already have Skype? Yeah, I do. It's asking me if I want to allow this conversation to go ahead twice. We're now starting a call, and I'm going to be both sides of this call, so I'm going to be a bit schizophrenic. We're going to get all kinds of echo, so off with the volume. Oh, maybe not.
Hello.
Ah, it went to my voicemail, right? So let me take myself out of presentation mode on the link side. Whoops, link side. There we go, I'm presenting, I'm making myself available. So I went through the voicemail there. Let's run the same thing off this website. Here we go. What should happen now that I'm available, instead of going to voicemail on the link side. So we're showing a couple of things. First of all, the back-end call control kicks in here. So if I'm in the meeting, it certainly goes through to I'm getting the echo, right? This call is now active. I'm both sides of this call. It is me. So I've called from Skype on my account here to the link side, using the button to just quickly demonstrate, not so quickly because we call voicemail first, but you get the picture, right? There will be work to make that process a little bit less kind of three steps, answering questions along the way. So that'll become a little easier. And on that topic, I'm going to hand back to you for some chat about implementation.
I think that's where we are. That was interesting. I didn't know that did that.
On your screen, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm just clicking through because we're behind.
We are juggling.
Actually, we're on to underlying technologies. That's still you.
Right. Okay. Team up. Okay. So very quickly, H.264, the industry was AVC. We're now more or less everyone is SVC. That's where we are too. We like it because it can handle significant network packet loss, 20 to 40% based on some people's opinions. One of the things it's doing here is temporal style scalability. So effectively, more frames are being sent than necessarily everyone needs to receive. So if you're on a mobile device, possibly, you only need some of the frames. You don't need them all. And that can affect the way in which the codec behaves up front. It effectively codes everything, and then it sends out all of that information, including some of the redundant components, but the receiver is then taking what they need from the call. So effectively, on the bit that has the limited resources, they only use the parts of the media stream that they need, reducing battery consumption, making the network usage lower, which is appropriate for a mobile-type environment. So this type of codec significantly is changes the previous mechanism, which was having to do transcoding, transrating for all of the people who were part of a meeting, perhaps. In this case, however, you code once, you send out, and then the receiving terminals use the bits that they need. I have noted 265 coming along, currently targeting 3D type video calls. That's in our future, somewhere along the line. Not currently where we are with Link Skype connectivity V2, but it does make you think, doesn't it? Those meetings, wow. Okay, so that's sort of where we are with the video side of this release. Effectively now a common video codec used across both Link and Skype. On to the next one. I don't think we need this. Above and beyond to say that the only mechanism to control Skype from a security perspective on a corporate network was to use a SOX 5 proxy and to drop it into the DMZ. So we're now going to talk more about sort of how we improved on that, because that didn't feel good to most system
back?
Yeah, no. We're going to move forwards through a couple of clicks here. So, yeah, I'll take over. So, NAT traversal mechanisms like Stun, Turn, and Ice effectively will try to go out if you're on the same network. So if your Skype client is sitting on the same network as your Link client, there is a chance that they would find each other. But in most cases, you're dealing with back-to-back NATed firewalls. And in that case, the edge server on the Skype side, on the Link side, would actually kick in and help to do the call setup, as I'm showing here with this dotted line. That uses the Stun protocol. And once the call is established, the actual media goes peer-to-peer. Now, contrast that with Turn. In the Turn case, both signaling and media flow through the edge server. So effectively, what's happened here is Skype is now using those internet standards. As I mentioned, I've probably said too many times, far more appropriate for the enterprise-type scenario. Derek and I are complete amateurs, as you can see as we balance the videos and stuff we've shared with you. But on one of the calls that we did as we were preparing for this presentation, we used Network Monitor, which is a freely downloadable sniffing type tool from Microsoft. And we just tracked and traced the call setup for one of our Link Skype Connectivity V2 calls. And we're showing you here that, yes, indeed, we're using Turn Stun technologies in order to set this call up. We believe that, you know, there are possibly you get even more information if you use the snooper tool. Those of you that use Link regularly know that there's a snooper capability there where you can actually go in and look at the call setup information. So by all means, use either one. And that probably more or less exhausts my knowledge of what's being shown here. But we just wanted to do the proof point that, yeah, we are using Stun and Turn. This next slide. Oh, boy, look, he's already ready. We need to switch over to screen 5 because I'm the guy with the microphone and speaker attached to the PC. So go into this. Here we go. It's up. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play you the difference in voice quality between a 729 call and using the Silk codec.
To administer medicine to animals is frequently a very difficult matter.
In the course of a December tour in Yorkshire...
All right, that's a 729 call. Notice, you didn't get Tony Bennett up on your screen. That normally
that's
happens.
That's true. I wonder how they did.
So I'm quite happy about that. That's good news.
To administer medicine to animals is frequently a very difficult matter.
In the course of a December tour in Yorkshire...
All right. So she says medicine strangely, doesn't she? But on the other hand, what's happening here is we're picking up the sibilants, the parts of our communication that sit at the top of the frequency range. So we've got a broader ability here to pick up the full range of noises that come out of the spoken languages that we use. You know, so higher frequencies, lower frequencies, and effectively it gives you a richer communications experience. And what we know, and I'm showing you a link on this screen, and somehow we've got to get back to yours. Why don't you go ahead and do that? But I'm showing you the link to a blog that we posted about 2 years ago. And this blog showed that calls that use the higher bandwidth codecs actually last longer. Now, what allows us to say that is that Skype has a feedback engine all the time, and people tell us whether they had a quality call or not. But actually, we also sometimes do a sneaky test with a lower bandwidth type codec. We might throw a 729 in for some of our users and just test the length of calls, etc. And we do so many calls that actually after a while that becomes statistically representative. We know that better quality, it seems obvious, doesn't it? Better quality calls last longer. Our user base, our consumer base, stay on the calls longer, and we prove that statistically. So we will continue to explore ways to improve voice quality wherever we can. So Silk now being used both by Skype and by link for link Skype connectivity calls. All right.
Excellent. So now we'll go into some things to be aware of when you begin deploying this. It's a journey from here to when we're completely generally available, and as we go on that journey, there'll be some things to be aware of. The first one, we spend a bit of time on this. We didn't do that this time because we didn't go over the how to secure Skype. But Skype does use AES 5. Actually, this is yours. Go ahead.
We use AES 256 on the Skype side. For link calls, though, it's AES 128. And that's for a reason of economy. It's secure, state-of-the-art technology. So given that these are peer-to-peer calls, rumors about Skype calls being hacked or monitored and stuff like that, I'm not aware of any cases like that. Any examples of Skype security issues tended to relate to things like file transfer, where a user would receive a file that contained some sort of malware that they then opened without having appropriate malware protection on their computers. We absolutely recommend the use of appropriate malware protection. We've got a website that you can visit that describes Skype security. We keep it updated. There's a blog that goes with it. And in there, you will find a third-party security audit of Skype. But again, you would normally be using Link on the corporate side, but it's well worth noting these controls exist. Something that I normally remind people of is that on the Skype side, it's the consumer that decides whether they keep a history of your chat. So if you're doing a chat with a Skype user and you're on Link, you have all of your regulatory compliance mechanisms in place. Just be aware, Skype users are free to record the chats that they receive from you. And there's a setting here that I'm showing on the screen on the left that shows you can set your chat history to actually never delete. So effectively, you can retain your chat history for as long as you want. But that's the consumer's choice, right? If they want to keep the stuff, it's up to them. All right, so that was Skype privacy and Skype security. Over to you.
All right. So just a few things to be aware of as you deploy this solution. One is the second most common issue people have is the link user.
To administer medicine to animals is frequently a very...
That's the third problem.
She just wouldn't
stop. The second most common problem is the link user not receiving the invite from the Skype user. And it could be for one of two reasons most commonly. You'll notice here it says where it's contacts not using link. That middle or the top or the bottom button has to be clicked. If it says block all invites, then you won't get those invites. So that's kind of the first thing you want to ask the user if they did that. The second thing is, even though there's a new tab over there on your link client, not everybody sees that, and that's where the add contact request will appear. So two things to be aware of is check your link settings to make sure you're allowing invites but block all other communications at a minimum, and make sure you're telling users to check the new tab in the Link 2013 client. I'll take you through, this is an older version of the MSA flow, and I point it out here because in the past, and we're changing this now, you'll notice there are multiple choices for a user to choose how they log into Skype. Over time, we're going to make it very easy for that to be the Microsoft account. In some ways, maybe the only choice they'll see is their MSA. We're that committed to this. In fact, the group that's doing this is committed to having this 100% MSA by the end of this year. Now, can they do that? That's a pretty lofty goal. But I mention that only to tell you how serious we are about this. We began this process in November of 2012 at 0%. Now we've got a significant percentage. We've got tens of millions of those connected users are connecting using their MSA. But the most common problem with Link Skype connectivity is the Skype user forgetting to log in with their MSA. So there's probably three really easy troubleshooting things you can do. Check the link settings for both the new tab as well as allowing invites, and make sure the Skype user has associated their Skype ID with an MSA and they're logged in with that, because the experience just won't work without it. A couple of things on the add contacts scenarios. Again, this is a journey as well. We'll continue to work hard to improve these. But you want to add a link contact. You go to your Skype client, you type in the user's name. Now, I should note what's going on here is we mentioned we have about 10,000 or more domains of companies who decided to use Link Skype connectivity. But what we're doing in this scenario is we're not looking up the username, we're looking at the domain name. And what that means is precision is important here. If you type the name in wrong, you'll still get the contact, you just can't do anything with it. So it's another education area to make sure your users are very specific about how they type the name in, because if they get it wrong, they won't be happy. Similar issue, well, not similar. On the link side, it's a different one slightly. This is link 2013. How many of you are on link 2013? Good. That's very good. This is the experience for link 2013, a very nice one. You'll notice that it anticipates you wanting to have a contact outside your organization and gives you the ability to select what kind of it is. Link 2010 doesn't have this capability. And so if your MSA or the user that you're going to add is not using one of our properties, the live, outlook.com, those domain names, then you have to do what's called name decoration. And I won't go into all that, but it's a bit of a hassle to add that contact. It does work, but it takes a bit more work to add that contact in Link 2010. The last thing I'll just point out here, this is really an observation, and this whole area is one area that we're going to be working hard on the next months to deal with. You'll notice that both Link and Skype have present states, but they're not the same. And in fact, there's some mapping that's going on here that's unclear. For example, you notice that one of the Skype present states is called invisible. That's a great presence. I want that. But I'm not sure how you map that to anything. So there's going to be some work that's got to be done here. In addition, the link presence modes are customizable. So they may not have the same set depending on who you're working with. So somehow there's some mapping going on, and we're learning more about that. But the long story short is we've got work to do in terms of how we deal with presence and also how we deal with offline and online contacts. Barry was noting when he did the demo from the website, he wanted to make sure that I was set to be available, because if I was offline, the Skype client would not call me. And that's a challenge we're continuing to work through. We'll continue to work through that as we go to GA.
All right, very good. So now we're going to do the shuffle again. I'm going to take over the mouse control. And I'm going to rush through this. We're down to 12 minutes. The room's going to be full of questions, I'm sure of it.
And it's kind of warm in here.
Yeah, there we go. So there are three stages to getting a Link server ready for Link Skype connectivity. First, you have to declare the domain. That is exactly the same process that you had if you were doing Messenger. Nothing changes. In fact, if you've done Messenger, you're already up and running with this. Okay. Second thing is you need to assign a certificate on your Edge server. Third thing is set up your user policies. I am now going to hammer through these screens. And
you'll get this slide
off.
Deck to refer to later.
All right. Here we go. So first of all, register your domain. This is the pick process all over again. We recommend that you do this way ahead of the last day where you want to go live with this capability. Why? We have an SLA of about 25 to 30 days on actually approving your domain. So that's important information to know. On the other hand, you'll see that if you're doing this with Link Online, you can more or less be up and running in 24 hours. Okay? Second step. Whoa. There we go. There is a bit of a delay on the screen, which is why we've been caught a little dodgy a couple of times there. So the second thing is to set up your Edge server in order for it to support public IM connectivity. And to do that, what I need to go through is effectively downloading an encryption key and assigning it to my public IM connectivity. All right, so I'm just going to grab a whole load of default settings here. So prepare the request now, but send it later. Yeah, I think I'll go with that. I'm going to store the request on my hard disk, so I go ahead and select whereabouts. I give it a friendly name. Typically, this is going to be your SIP address at this point. I'm going to use a bit length of 2K. And I'm going to mark the certificate for private key mark the certificate's private key as exportable. Yes, please. I enter my domain. It actually goes out and finds this, so that this list is populated. I go ahead and select my contoso.com. It then gives me a little review of what it's about to do. It then generates the certificate. There it is. I ship that off to my public Certificate Authority, or CA. I then configure, I import the certificate I receive back from them on my Edge server, and I'm up and running. I then need to go in and configure the access policy, and effectively all of these screens that I show you now are basically open up communication with the external world. So the first one is enable communication with federated users. Yes, please. Enable communication with public users. Yup. Enable federation and public IM connectivity. Yes. Enable partner domain discovery. Yes. Send archiving disclaimer to federated partners. If you're archiving, then when they start chatting with you, they would receive a chat notification that says, we're archiving. And then finally, I open up on a per-user or per-group basis, allow users to communicate only with people on their contacts who use the provider. So effectively what this means is, if you don't set this, then you risk having spam-type approaches from the 300 million average monthly Skype users. I'm not saying we're all saints, but a lot of us are good folks. There are some dodgy folks out there. So you're going to be setting that one for your corporate network. I'd like you to contrast that with the process for doing this with Link Online. In Link Online, if you go into IM meetings and conferencing, you can then select online, external communications, and there is a single toggle that you need to set in order to activate Link Skype connectivity. Just one click and you're up and running. If you click the learn more stuff, you'll see it's all about Skype. It's even branded Skype there. All right, I took you through that stuff really quickly. There is documentation, obviously, that will enable you to do this with a little more thought. But I wanted to open it up for some questions. And there we've got the refresh. One last thing. We have been working with partners to get them ready to support the use of Silk Codec for these Link Skype connectivity V2 calls. Why is that important? Because you may have compliance requirements here. You may already have a recording partner, one of the ones that's listed here on the left of this screen. We've been working with these folks. They're all ready to go. When we release, they'll be there with us, ready effectively to continue to guarantee the compliance and recordings of your voice, video, and chat calls with Skype. So in summary, all right, so we tell you what's new. We explained the difference between Link and Skype meetings. We took you through the use cases, the enabling technologies. We showed you how to get it up and running, the three-step process for Link server deployments. We told you about some business cases, B2C, B2B, friends and family. There's a hiring scenario in there as well. I interviewed at Skype. I never met the people that interviewed me. It was all done by video. I'm sure that's the future. So the new features, the three things to remember, we're coming out with video, enterprise-class security, and best-of-breed audio quality using the Silk codec, and we're on to questions. If you leave early, we would ask that you fill in an eval form. We balanced a lot of stuff here, but hopefully you got great things out of this. You can see where we're going with it. So please, eval forms if you can. We're open up to questions. Yes. Can you use the microphone in the middle, which may be a bit uncomfortable, so if you can't quite make it, do call out, and we'll repeat your question. Stunned silence. All right, Derek, when are you going to release this stuff?
Well, we're thinking summer in general, but for much of it, and then the rest of it by the end of the calendar year is what we're aiming for.
Question over here. Art.
So for voice, in terms of connectivity,
no, sir.
So the Silk codec is being used by the Link client on the Link end.
It's now in the stack.
Okay.
Just for Link Skype connectivity calls, but it's all in there today.
Got it.
No more transcoding. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Fill out those evals and enjoy the party tonight. I think it's the party tonight, right?
Thank you, everyone.